Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
When I returned from my prodigal lifestyle, I would give my testimony. For a couple of years, I was invited to many full gospel businessmen fellowships to share my testimony. And the conclusion of what I talked about, ministered, was always the same. That at the end of the day, what drew me back to God was overwhelming love. I was not in really any kind of a life crisis. My life was a crisis. Amen. But I could still work and function as a human being out in society. I wasn't, you know, laid up in jail or on my back somewhere. But I just experienced the love of God on a level I had never experienced before. And I tell people this because it's true. It's the truth. Kneeling in front of that TV, I did not have any physical feeling, nor did I have an emotional response. I did later. I cried later. I got humble and meek, all that stuff, you know. But that, I didn't. I was overcome with an overwhelming sense and a knowing and a knowledge that God loved me. Now, that may not be a big deal to you, but for me, at that point in time in my life where I had spent almost 13, 14 years rejecting God and fighting against the force of that love, for Him to still press that love on me in that level at that time blew me away. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist it. I could resist doctrine and authority and law and you name it. Man, I was a good rebel. I was a good sinner. Amen. But I'm telling you, when God started pouring that love out, and there are ways, we're going to study this, how God loves us. See, a lot of people don't understand the love of God because they don't know how God loves you. But once you start figuring out how God loves you, you figure out all this religion, this is really a bunch of garbage because God loves me despite what all this religion says. Despite all the do's and don'ts and all the Calvinism and all the legalism and all the other religions of this world, I know one thing, God loves me. Now, if we could, listen, if that one message, why is the church not full today? People don't think God loves them. I questioned as a young child. You know, I was told you need to love God. I was born again at age 6, filled with the Holy Ghost. I was 7 years old. I heard myself speak in other tongues and spoke in other tongues and prayed in other tongues many times after the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Amen? But I always questioned, you know, how do you love? How do you love something you can't put your arms around? How do you love something you can't handle with your hands, see with your eyes, hear with your ears? How do you love something that really you don't sense that internal, soulish connection? And when I say that, I mean like between a man and a woman, that type of love. You don't experience that. But let me say this. This might help some of you. Right now, I'm 67. I'll be 68 in January. In March, I would have been serving God and been in full-time ministry for 40 years. And I can say this. I really don't know how to gauge any success of ministry. I really don't care. Really doesn't. That doesn't compute in me. I can say this without exception, that I am overwhelmingly in love with Jesus. Beyond that of any person that I know on the earth, beyond that of any experience I've ever experienced, beyond that of any, how could I say this, any possession I've ever had, any relationship I've ever known, there is a level that God wants to bring you to that lifts you above this earth and all the relationships of the earth, even though they even may be marital. One thing I recognize, and one of the reasons I fell in love with Leah is because I saw how much she loved God. I saw how much she loved God. And I found in Leah a woman that would love God a whole lot more than she loved me, because there's a capacity in you as a wife or as a husband to love God more than you even love your wife or husband. Now, that being said, because we're studying the love of God, not our love toward God. That being said, you can never do that unless His love is revealed to you, or unless you experience His love on that level. Amen? And to reject God and to shake your fist at God. And I was called to preach at 17 and told God, no, 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 I'll prove you're wrong to do that. Amen? And to reject all the people that God sent to love you and to help you and to try to get you out of the mess, to reject all of that, and then God still loves you. Still loves you. That's something that we need to explore. Because if you can get, listen to me, if you can get a greater revelation of how much God loves you, then by that revelation you can assimilate and transmit out a greater love to people. Because 90% of the way God loves you is through other people. Yeah. Amen? Now let me just say this. The church is a hard place. The body of Christ is a difficult place. I've never seen, I lived as a drug addict, as a criminal, as all, but I never had people hate me until I started serving God. Yeah. Yeah. I've never had people talk bad about me. And I'm telling you, after 40 years, there's been a lot said about me, a lot gets said about me, and I could care less. Doesn't bother me. Listen, the year I was in Bible school, 1984, the previous year was the first year of LBI, Lakewood Bible Institute. The majority of our graduating class was at the convention that year protesting against Brother Osteen, holding signs that said, John Osteen's of the devil, Kenneth Hagin's of the devil, Teal Osborne's of the devil, marching in the parking lot. This is the previous year's, three quarters of the previous year's graduating class of Lakewood Church. Well, I could teach you about wolves right there, but I'm not. Brother Osteen made sure they had water every day, made sure they had shade every day. He loved them. Just like he loved them when he taught them, when they rejected him, he still loved them. That was a lesson to me. That really blew me away. I ought to have called the cops and had them all arrested. I wouldn't today, but I would back then. I thought, what are these people doing? They're crazy. They're out of their mind. Get them out of here, you know? No, but Brother Osteen, see, he'd grown in love. The number one thing you must learn to grow in is to grow in love. People want to grow in faith and authority so they can have power. But really, all of it operates by faith, which works by love. So if you don't have a love walk, your number one most important walk needs to be your love walk. But you cannot love until you are loved. We sang that song. We are loved by Him. We are loved by Him. A lot of people never graduate beyond the initial, for God so loved the world. They get on in that salvation. That's all they ever experience. My goodness, my life has been a testimony of the love of God. Not of me being some great faith person or somebody that flows in some gift or anointing. That's all God. No, my testimony is this. God loved me when I didn't love Him. And when I really loved Him, He really loved me. But you got to find some stuff out about God. How many people today that if we could just convince them that God loved them, they would turn, come to God, get saved, and the church would be a church of 10,000 in a week? You can't convince them. They've not experienced. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start there. Let's get into the Word. Ephesians chapter 2. I've brought both my... Now in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul... He's writing to us here. Look there in verse, these are tough verses to pass up. Go to verse 5. Praise God. Y'all like my new Mary and Berrien suit? I thought I'd wear it today. Amen. That's every preacher needs a good dark blue suit for Marion and Berrien. Amen. But you know, I don't know if I've got a very good record on Marion. I know most of the people I've married are still married, but I've got a great record when it comes to burying. Every person I've buried is still buried. If Thank God for B.B. Hankins, amen. I got that from him. Oh, me. Chapter 2, verse 5, Ephesians. Glory to God. Even when we were dead in sins, speaking of God, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. Now notice the scripture right above that. I guess I'll have to do that. Okay. Now, go to verse 1. All right, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it your way and not mine. And you hath he quickened. Everybody say quickened. That's the word made alive. Who were dead in trespass and sin. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, now notice that small s, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Man, are we seeing a manifestation of that spirit? Among whom? Well, don't point a finger at them. You got three pointing back at you, amen? Among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Why are sinners so sinful? It is their nature. It is their nature. Amen? And you know, I was thinking about this. I've got this abstract mind that I've spent 40 years renewing. So you can imagine some of the thoughts that get twisted around in there. Amen? But you think about all of these people are wanting to change. Men wanting to be women. Women wanting to be men. And then men and women both wanting to be neither one. There's 70, listen, our government recognizes 72 classifications of gender now. 72? I've only got 10 fingers and 10 toes. Amen? All this change, everybody, nobody likes how they want to change. They want to change. So that's the nature of the world is what? Change, change. But the church is what? Waiting on the change. Amen. When one day we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. No wonder you see this in the world system, that nature. It's the earth, it's nature groaning for God. Something's wrong with me, I got to change. I'm so wrong, I'm so messed up, it must be that I'm not a woman. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. The ultimate, consummate deception. Desire for change. Amen? Now notice, we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in such a way. But God, verse 4, oh my goodness, that's where you can sigh. Oh, thank you. But God, who is rich in mercy, now notice this, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Listen to it in the, here in the message. Excuse me, not the message, the passion. Let me find it here. Well, I know I have it marked. That's the problem, I got too many marks. What verse was that, 5? Here we go. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Now, here's the key. When you say love, you know, you love one thing differently than you love another. Amen. I mean, you love, I got a new dog. I love her. I want her to live as long as I possibly can. But when Leah makes a pecan pie, I love it so much, I want to get rid of it. You see, there's different motivations in love. Amen. But the Bible says God loved us with so great a love that his love was full of what? Number one, mercy. Oh my goodness. Have you ever discovered what mercy is? Have you ever got a quote revelation of what mercy is? Mercy is God's ability to stop from happening to you what should happen to you. You go to a trial, you're convicted, and you're found guilty, but the judge has what? Mercy. So he does not judge you. Woo! So God has what? Mercy, his ability to stop from happening to us what should happen to us. What should happen to you? Here's what should happen to you. Doesn't matter. doesn't matter. Male, female, doesn't matter. What race, doesn't matter. What location, doesn't matter. How much money you have, doesn't matter. Live your life on the earth, die, go to hell. Separated from God, dead in your sins and trespasses on the earth, die physical death, and go to a place of eternal death or eternal separation from God. But God. But God, come on. Nothing we can do to deserve it. Nothing the human family could do to prove its worth or prove its worthiness of this, but God, who is what? Rich. See, some of you, you just got enough faith teaching to make you dangerous. But let me help you with faith. Because I'm considered a faith teacher, a faith, you know, somebody that ministers on the subject, has done it for many years. So most people would probably pre-surmise that I would get up and say, well, my faith has done this, and my faith has done this, and by faith we've done this, and by faith we've done that. Y'all never heard me say that. Here's why. Because every effort of faith, you step out in faith, you begin to obey God, you begin to believe in your heart, you begin to confess with your mouth, you begin to walk that walk of faith, and all of a sudden you begin to have hindrances, you begin to have delays, you begin to have denials, and it seems like your faith is not working. Then God comes in and overrides all of that, gives you the answer. You go, wow, my faith did that. No, it did not. His mercy did it. His mercy moved in there. God saw you struggling. God saw you in faith. That pleases Him. But your faith was not yet to that level. So He steps in because He loves you, and His love is full of mercy and compassion. Yeah. Let me just help some of you spiritually. Quit being so hard on yourself and quit judging yourself. Yeah. Now let me just say this. I said it earlier in the service. You need to get your passion back. You say, what do you mean? Now listen, if you come and pray, you'll find me in the prayer room. If you come around here on some of the off days, you'll find me studying in my office, and some of the other days you'll find me studying in my office here when the staff is here. You'll find me up here praying at different times of the week. You say, well, it's really not me trying to make Island Church successful. You understand that? I figure God, Jesus can do that on His own. He's the one who said He's going to build the church. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the church, those that labor, labor in vain. So I figure my labor needs to be intensive in what area? In trying to build the church. And I've been around pastors who are very business-minded, very ego-driven, and man, they make it happen. Boom, 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 boom. They know how to deal with bankers. They know how to deal. They can do it. But what is amazing is you can get yourself to a place where your own talent and ability has promoted you to, but you forgot to bring the element of faith, which literally activates the love of God and gives you literally an exit for mercy and compassion to work wherein it looks like your faith isn't working. Let me help you. Don't you know that God loves you more than enough to let you fail? Do you know if you fail in spiritual things, it's because you've worked at it? Let me try that again. If you fail at spiritual things, it is because you have worked at it. You have taken your time, instead of using your time and redeeming your time and sowing. People say to me, Pastor, how come you go hunting and you go on all these trips and you go overseas and you do, how do you have all that time? Because I redeem it. I give it to God. I put Him first when I pray. I put Him first when I study. I put church first. Church is my life. It should be yours. Most people equate that to a pastor or to a ministry. But listen, honey, if you're looking to go up in that bunch when that trump sounds and that archangel shouts, you better make church your life. You say, why? Because He's coming back for a glorious... I've always said, if the bus is going somewhere you want to go, you need to be on it. So, great love. Everybody say, great love. Wherein He loved us. Man, where'd our time go? Go to Luke real quick. Let me do one more scripture. Now, notice Luke. Luke chapter 6. Let me get over there. How many love the Lord? How many love the Word? How many know they're the same? Now notice, Luke 6, verse 27. It says, but I say unto you, which hear, boy, that's a good word. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Amen. One low, muffled amen. Do good to them which hate you. I remember I used to preach at the Moody Methodist retirement home. 7 o'clock in the morning. They used to ask me to come have breakfast at 6 with the residents. Yeah, good residents. I think Alan may have went a few times. But I quit going to breakfast because it was pretty rough. Anyway, so I preached. So one time I preached why you can't be a Methodist and go to heaven. And so basically it was, you know, you can't, whatever you are, you can't go to heaven because you're a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic or a Charismatic. You've got to be born again. That was the message. So everybody, at the end, you were always expected to stand at the door and shake hands with everybody that came. And there was usually about 75, 80 people that came. So I'm standing there shaking hands and everybody, that was so good. That was great. Most people were like, you know, after their breakfast. But the last lady, she is in a little walker. She's so sweet and precious. And she walked up with this smile on her hand, smile on her face, and she took my hand and she patted it and she looked at me and said, I hate you! I'm a Methodist! Amen. So I was able to help her a little bit right there, amen. But, you know, hate's a horrible thing. And it's got many, we're going to study it in its many insidious forms, because there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of hating and they don't think they're doing it. They just think they're right. Oh, well, no. We'll do that. We'll do that later. Amen. Woo. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not thy coat. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Now he's giving us a revelation of the Father's love. When did he love you with that great love? When did God so love you that he gave his only begotten son? You know when? Not when he saw you at the end of your life going up in the rapture or having a glorious funeral as you were welcomed into heaven by all the saints of God. No, he saw you when you were doing those drugs. He saw you when you were immoral. He saw you when you were full of sin. He saw you when your life was totally worthless in the human family or any other family because of the sin and the iniquity that's in this world. And he loved you. He didn't judge you. He didn't condemn you. He loved you, and he still loves you, and he still loves you, and he still doesn't condemn you, and he still has lots of mercy for you and lots of compassion for you. Many times, though, we move away from that, and moving away from that is called religion. That's what it is. That's why it's so ugly and insidious and has no love in it. Now notice, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And reward will be great, and you shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Why would you question his love in your life? You're a child of God. Your prayer has not been answered, not because he does not love you. As a matter of fact, he loves you so much, he doesn't just want to grant you an answer that will take you out of a problem. He wants you to grow out of that so you'll never have the problem again. Then he wants you to take what you've grown out of and go get others out of it. That's how much he loves you. And that's how much he loves that person out there that doesn't even know him. Because he'll work on you to get to them. Everything that you see, do you think you can do this? Do you think you can love those that hate you? Those that despitefully use you? You think you can be slapped upside the head and turn the other cheek and offer the other one also? This is how God loves us. This is how Jesus loves us. Sure, it's his standard in us. Once you become a believer, yes, this should be your mode of operation. This is how you should love people. You should not be a hater. You should not be combative. You should not be the one that puts the fist or the slap up against the cheek. Amen. But Jesus knew that we would be living in a time in which what we believe, listen church, listen to me, what we believe, what we profess, what we proclaim, and what we demonstrate is the greatest threat to the darkness of this world, which is surrounding this world right now. Listen, it's not going to be, well, that church, that was a great faith church, it was a great a gifts of the Spirit church, it was a great mission church. No, the church is going to be known as the love of God in the earth. Because people will be without excuse in judgment when they stand screaming at God and say, "You didn't love me." He will look at them and say, "Did you go to church?" Amen? Because that's where he loves you. That's where it all begins. Jesus is beginning to do what? He's beginning to impart himself into what he shall become in us. In us. Not just great faith people, no, great people of his love. You know, Brother Tony Cook is going to come minister. He was with Brother Hagin for many years. You have no idea, church. Any of these ministers, you name in these nationally, internationally known ministers that have had lots of persecution, what you see is nothing compared to what they have suffered. As far as persecution. Brother Hagin, I mean, he changed the world. He didn't change it. Jesus changed it through his ministry. But people today complain about him. They write books about him. They talk about he was a witch. He was this. He was that. There's so many people out there in the church that hate him. That hate him. And it's crazy because he brought revelation to the church. That radically changed the church. But at the end of the day, he was not known as a man of faith. He was known as a man of love because not one criticism did he ever respond to or ever try to turn around and say, "Well, this is my point." He never took a side. He just walked in love. He just walked in love. When they wrote the articles in Charisma magazine, said he was a spiritualist, a throwback from the 1880s, named some nut that he wasn't even associated with. He just kept walking along. They wanted a response from him. They wanted him to write a rebuttal. He said, "I love him. I just love him. I just don't know. Just love him. Just love." His legacy, thank God he taught us faith the way he did, but his legacy was love. Many of the other, John Osteen built Lakewood Church, the oasis of. You've got to understand this force of love. When all of this is happening in the earth and people are dying, I watched a deal today on the news when we got up, we kind of figured out what the weather was going to be, and it showed this lady on some social media, and she's freaking out because of how inflation has affected her and her family's budget. And now they've lost so much of their savings and the husband's 401k, and now she was weeping and crying because all she had left in the bank approaching Christmas was $200. And this was a man and a woman, a little family, that both the husband and the wife worked two jobs. And now the economy. I mean, what do people like that? They need to be loved. They need to understand there's a God that loves you, and there's a God that no matter how big the inflation gets, He can help you, He can keep you. And in all this turmoil that's going on, He can surround you with His faith and His love and get you through this. And I think about what religion offers people and what tradition offers people. We were in Ireland, and we went to a church that we go to bring people that travel with us. We want to go show them the church where Oliver Plunkett's head is in a jar. Amen. And so we take them to a particular church. Well, this church actually, the first time I saw it, it looked like it was in a mayonnaise jar with a rusted top. And the water was all milky. Now they've got it. They spent $7 million building an altar to Oliver Plunkett so you can go pray to the severed head of Oliver Plunkett. And I always get tickled. I go in there and think, now wait a minute. And I sit there and look at old Oliver. And he kind of looks back. You know. And I think, now what a silly doctrine. And they got prayer cards and candles to light and all this kind of stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, you're going to go pray to a guy who didn't get his prayer answered. He said, well, how do you know he didn't get his prayer? Well, his head is right there in the jar. It's a testimony to an unanswered prayer. You say, well, how do you know that? Would you be praying right before they chop? Please, Lord, don't let them chop my head off. Maybe you know how to pray that, amen. I'm writing another book called Simply Pray. That's it, Simply Pray. And I put in the introduction the story of the Battle of Bataan, the black and white movie, and at the close of the movie, these I think it's Earl Flynn or one of the old, and they're at the machine gun, and they're the flag, and they're playing, and then all of a sudden one says, we ought to pray. And they start praying, Our Father, which art in heaven. And then it shows the enemy kind of over the American flag goes down and Bataan has fallen, you know. And so I start out this, I'm doing my notes for the book. I start the introduction. I said, now, it's obvious they prayed. Not only did they prayed an extremely beautiful, given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and scriptural prayer. But the problem was, there was no answer. Amen. So obviously, did God love them? Listen, church, we think God has unlimited access to us in this earth, in which He does not. Boy, where'd my amens go? You think God could just show up here anytime and do anything? You think that? That's wrong. You know why He can't do that? He cannot override His own word. And He gave His word that this earth belongs to who? This world system, this cosmos belongs to man. I made the man, I made the woman, I gave him dominion, I gave him authority, I gave him the seed of Genesis, and I gave him the law of seed time and harvest, procreation. Boom, then man fell. What a mistake we've made. Amen? No, he didn't make a mistake. No, he was dealing with situations in the universe that we have no understanding of. Amen? But in the midst of that, he sends what? His only begotten Son, who loves us, who cares. For God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. So the consummate act of loving is giving when it comes to divine love. It's not for God so loved the world, He felt good. He had a warm, fuzzy feeling. He had a moment of reflection. No, no. For God so loved the world, He gave. What did He give? His best, His only begotten Son, part of Himself. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. Now notice, let's finish this one up. It says, and if you do good to them, which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. But love your enemies. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. So, understand this. God wants you to understand the level. Now, the level on which He loves you. I have been, everything that I've been doing in about, I don't know, since this COVID thing, in which the enemy would definitely design for each and every one of us to bring us down. Amen. I mean, it's affected every church. It's affected every ministry. It's affected all of us. We all, you know friends and loved ones that have been affected by everything from disease to treatment to the trauma that it can cause. Amen. And in the midst of this, there's a lot of opportunity to get your eyes off the love of God and get your eyes on other things. And to do this and to wonder, well, why? Well, why this or why? Well, I've always noticed this, that if you allow your intellect to wander in unknown areas, it's dangerous. Because when you start getting questions in your mind that the answer creates more questions, you're going down a path that's going to lead you to depression. You say, why is that? Because that's the way the devil wears you out. He'll put a thought in your mind. He'll I call it fishing, probing, trying to get you to capture something that he runs through your mind in order that he can begin the process of remember Eddie showed us that? The imagination, all the different things, how he tries to get you to what? Stronghold. Stronghold. Strong. Now, those strongholds are places of resistance. And what are they resisting? God. And if you resist God, what are you resisting? His love. You're resisting his love. So the enemy's always trying. Now we've gone, what, 3-4 years into this drama, which has led to other dramas, which has led to political, which has led to you name it. I don't know how much all this stuff is connected, but it's all connected to the end times. It's all connected to this whole thing folding up and shutting down. And in the midst of it, the church, it's looking for a great revelation. It's looking for a great word. I don't know what it's looking for, but what it needs is the understanding of how much God loves them and what he has done to put protection, provision, and blessing in his kingdom so that we don't go the way of the world system. So I'm afraid I'm going to go into bankruptcy. Stay in the kingdom. I'm afraid my job, my business, stay in the kingdom. I'm afraid they're going to come up with another disease, another treatment. I don't know. Stay in the kingdom. That's where his love is what? The predominant force. The kingdom of God. God reigns and rules in love. Not in judgment. That's coming. But thank God one took your judgment. Now listen. Let me close with this. Oh, my time is up. Oh, my goodness. Is this helping anybody? You ought to take a little time and just sit down and think about what God has delivered you from. Now, you can think about, well, thank God I'm not going to, if I were to die, I go to heaven. Hallelujah. But you know, it's God's intention that you live in days of heaven upon the earth. How greater of a illustration of his love than people that actually live in his love, that people can see it and desire what they have. Why are you so happy? Why do you always have a smile on your face? Why are you always positive? Well, there's answers to that, and they're simple. Well, it's God. He loves me. And I've noticed this. I never figured this out in pulpit ministry, but in one-on-one street ministry, you can walk up to somebody. I could walk up to a lady like Miss Charlotte or anyone else, a man like George, anybody. Doesn't know God, start talking to him about the Lord and tell him everything that God has saved me. God had put me in the ministry, gave me a beautiful wife. I live in a wonderful home. I have a wonderful church in Galveston. I get to travel all over the world. And while I'm saying that to them, in their mind, the adversary is saying this. Yeah, he's a favorite. Probably his parents, probably his grandparents, something, you know. But God loves him. He don't love you like that. He don't love you like that. So I figured out real quick, it's good to tell people what God's done for you, but it's even better to tell them what he's done for them. And what he's done for them is this: he's already saved you. He's already forgiven you. He's already removed everything you've ever done so heinous and so sinful. He's already removed it from you as far as the east is from the west, and he'll never remember it against you anymore. Not only that, he sent his son. His son died and shed blood and offered a blood sacrifice in heaven so that that blood could completely cleanse you and perpetually keep you cleansed. Because if you do sin after you get born again, all you got to do is go appropriate that blood and it cleanses you from all unrighteousness and sets you right back in the right spiritual position you're supposed to be. And you can do it time after time, and you should do it till you don't have to do it no more in everything in your life that has sin in it. You say, well, what if I sin? Ask forgiveness, walk in repentance. What if I do it again? Ask forgiveness, walk in repentance. What if I do it again? Ask repentance, walk in forgiveness. What if I do it again? Ask repentance, walk in forgiveness. And that's just the first 10 minutes. Come on, church. Some of you have not measured the love of God yet. You've not measured it in your life. Here's how you measure it. All the stupid, dumb, sinful, idiot things you've done, and God still loves you, still cares about you, still carries you in favor, still carries you in grace. And if you have any inkling of faith, He answers your prayer, heals your body, and blesses your finances. Come on, church. God loves you. God loves you. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. He knows where you've been rejected. He knows what's been said about it. He knows all of that. And He desires to comfort you, to help you, to bless you, to empower you so that you can do what? Be a conduit for His love and blessing so that you can love others unconditionally, without restraint. Once you taste, really taste of the love of God, you know what it did for me? I abandoned my life. It's amazing how the devil will come and try and pull you away from the love of God. I came back to the Lord in March of 84. April, I went to rodeo school, figured out I was called to preach. Not because I couldn't rodeo. I won the jackpot bull ride and was ready to go. But God was like, nope, that's not you. You're called to preach. Amen. And I found myself totally abandoned from anything I could do to produce anything in my life. Man came to me, offered me a job, which would have made me a multimillionaire. That would have killed me. That would have killed, I'd have been dead in a month. I mean, he came to me and said, we have no cable TV in any hotels in America. Caribbean, Hawaii, not even talking about Europe yet. And he had the contract, wanted me to sign it. $100 a room. 400, 500 room hotels. I could do a hotel in a day and a half. 400 room hotel in a day and a half. Me and two other guys. You talk about making money? All I got to do is raise up two guys, know how to do it, and now I'm doubled. Raise up two more. Don't you think the enemy give you a business plan, show you how to do everything? Come on, church. He's laying all that out in front of me. Look at the money. And then in here is going, you're supposed to be Lakewood Bible School. September, the whatever day in September it started. I told that guy no. He thought I was out of my mind. He said, do you know I'm going to offer this to somebody else? I said, I'm sure you are. But the love of God constraineth me. We're going to get into that. You say, what do you mean? The love of God will keep you out of something that may look like a great blessing that may kill you and bring you to something that's even a greater blessing. Amen. So much, and I'll close with this, so much of our heartache, our pain as believers, so much of our rejection, so much of our offense comes because we estrange ourselves from the love of God. We start thinking we're something. That's one thing I've never had any problems with. Because when I came back to God, I was nothing. And He made something out of nothing, but I'm still that nothing. It's only Him that's something. Well, that's a pretty self-abased opinion of yourself. No, I just know how to measure myself against the love of God. He's my all in all. He's my everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. He's the author and finish of my faith. He's my Savior, my baptizer in the Holy Ghost, my healer. He's my soon coming King. He's the one that when I rejected Him the most, He accepted me the most. When I did not love Him, He loved me the most. And when I needed His grace and mercy, He did not forsake me, even though I rejected Him. My goodness. What's that song they sing? They used to sing it in the Catherine Kuhlman meetings. That great baritone, Jimmy McDonald, used to sing, the love of God is greater still. How many know that song? That's such an awesome song. It talks about how if all the storks were quills, you know what that means? That song was written so long ago, they used to write with quill pens. So he said, if all the storks in the world, if they were quill pens, and the ocean was ink, you could not write the love of God. You would not have enough ink. You say, why? Because that's how big His love is. I don't care what you've done, where you've gone, what your life, your past, your future, doesn't matter. God loves you. And you need to learn before you love yourself, before you love people, before you need to understand how much God loves you. He gave it all. He held back nothing. He gave heaven's best for you. Think of that. If he could have purchased you with a galaxy of diamonds, he would have done it. If he could have purchased you by creating a new universe made out of gold, he would have done it. Amen? But the only way he could redeem us was to give a gift so awesome that it would reverberate not only forward, but backwards. You say, what do you mean? Think of this. The love of God was so strong on Calvary at Golgotha that the future of what was coming was so bright. But an entire legacy of generations, centuries of serving God based on something he had not done. He hadn't done it. But when that little baby appeared in that manger, for God so loved you, that baby appeared in the manger for you. But he also appeared on that cross for you. And he appeared in hell itself for you. And he walked out of that tomb for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. You hear this morning, say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever even responded to the love of God. I don't know if Jesus is Lord. I don't even know if I'm saved. Or if you were to say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I got born again, but I was kind of like you. I've kind of run from the love of God. I've kind of rejected it. This morning, in just a few moments, we're going to stand and pray a prayer. I'll lead the congregation in that prayer. We do it every Sunday. Sometimes two or three, sometimes as many as 10 or 12 will raise their hand to either get saved for the first time or get right with God. In doing that, you're not responding to the, quote, the altar call of a service. You're responding to the love of God. That quickening of your heartbeat, that flush you may feel physically right now, is God saying, listen to this man for a moment. To accept Jesus and everything that he is and everything that he means in the earth is to accept the love of God. To reject it is to be oh so poor. You could have billions in the bank and you're a poor, poor man or woman. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Rusty, that's me. I'm not living right. I'm not doing it. I just need to be right with God. I need to understand that I'm right with God. Well, we want to help you. If that's you, I want you to do something for me just by faith, real quick. And if that's you, you say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want you to slip your hand up and down real quick, real fast. We see your hands. God bless you. Anyone else? Two or three hands were raised. Another one. God bless you. Another one. God bless you. Praise God. Pray with me just a moment, church. This is important. Anyone else would say, that's me, Pastor. I don't want to reject God's love. I want to be right with God. I want to receive his love. Three or four have raised their hands. If that's you, if you've not raised your hand, raise your hand right now. There's another. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Praise God. Anybody else, real quick? There's another. God bless you. Amen, amen. Stand on your feet real quick, if you will. Now, I feel in my own spirit, it's important to do this, to pray out loud so our own ears hear what our voices say. I think it's important to have a group of people who will pray with others who will raise their hands, stand and pray, make that profession of faith. Amen? I believe it's important. I believe it's important to make a public confession of faith out loud so that others around you may hear. You say, why is that? Because Jesus died in a public place, was stripped down to nothing and bled and died. Outside the gates, we'll talk about that, what that means. You say, what do you mean outside the gates? There's a significance to being executed outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem that Jesus endured that sets you free. Hallelujah. You say, what does that mean? He took your curse. Oh, come on. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessings, oh glory to God, of Abraham might come upon the lives of those that believe. We're blessed. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. In our bodies and baskets, we're plenteous in goods. We're the head, not the tail. We're above, not beneath. We lend and do not borrow. Come on, church. So everybody that raised your hand, be sure you pray out loud. Church, you ready? Here we go. Heavenly Father, right now, openly and publicly, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Heavenly Father, areas of my life that are not pleasing to you, I see plainly you're trying to love me. That's where I have rejected your love. Forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. I appropriate the blood of Jesus, which cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. I declare Jesus Lord. I declare Him Savior. I declare Him healer. And I declare Him Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, as I stand at Island Church here in late November 2023, I am right with God. I will get right, stay right, and be right. I will not reject your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give him a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget now, Wednesday night, we have service prayer at 6:30. Come back to prayer. Some of y'all need to come back to the prayer room. Let me tell you, I watch people. I'm a people watcher. I can tell when passion starts to wane. When you don't show up in the prayer room as much as you used to. You start moving a few rows back, getting away from the anointing. Getting quiet in this Baptist church this morning. Get your passion back. Get your passion back. And I guarantee you, you'll experience the love of God on a level you never had before in your life. Amen? Father, thank you for today. What a wonderful day you've given us. Your blessings, your word, our fellowship together, praise and worship, all that's gone on today. Lord, we prayed this morning that when we close the service, we would all be able to say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And we do declare, it was good to be with God's people today. Lord, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. Thank you so much for what you're doing in our life. We declare Psalms 91 over the entire church. We know many are still traveling for the holidays, and many will travel during the holidays. We declare no evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. You bless our going out, our coming in, and we thank you, Father, for a glorious holiday season of blessing and protection. Lord, as we leave today, let us recognize and realize how important it is for us to love, and that our love needs to be directed at the unlovable. Thank you, Father, for open doors of utterance. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities to love and witness. Thank you, Lord, that you stand behind us supernaturally in our witness and in our testimony of Christ. Thank you for the love we have one for another. Thank you for our church. Thank you, Lord God, that you protect us and you keep us from the wolves that would come in and try to steal, kill, and destroy, that we're able to continue to move forward in your plan and purpose in our lives. We leave today walking again in faith and love toward you, walking again in love toward one another, thanking you here at Island Church. You've called us to be the ambassadors of Christ. We are covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.